kind of like a self-discovery, discovering your personal gifts. And all ages can do this. So we want you to kind of be attentive, and then we're going to pass out these questionnaires type thing, and you're going to score yourself. And we're going to be doing this for 3 weeks now, next Sunday night and the next. And so during the process, we're going to be able to discover, and this system has been given to over 1,000 audiences, and we know kind of what is out there in the way of giftings and where each person fits in. So it's going to be fun. So we're going to go for it. Come on, babe. All right. So we're going to kind of go through this. We're going to promise to get you out at 7, and we'll have to find some time for that questionnaire somewhere through there. And we've got quite a bit to cover in 3 weeks, but here goes. Okay. Really, this time. That's what we were doing back there a while ago. I said, discovering your gifts. Oh, it's still there. Okay. Well, I'll just drink some of my coffee. All right. Read it, Charlotte.
Okay, 1 Peter 4:10. You don't follow on your Bibles? God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good?
We're doing it like this because we don't want to have our backs to you. Look at that. Here it comes. Yes, yeah, we can. So we find in 1 Corinthians 12 the manifestation gifts. This may be what you thought we were doing, that we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are important, but we're going to deal more with the gifts of motivation. From this scripture, we find that there's ability to give wise advice, and that's the word of wisdom. A message of special knowledge, the word of knowledge. Great faith, the gift of healing, power to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, ability to discern, ability to speak in unknown languages, and ability to interpret. Now, that's what 1 Corinthians 12 has in it. And then we have the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts. The ministry gifts in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And the New Living Translation, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So we have those fivefold ministry that is there. But what we're going to be dealing with is,
just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraged. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't you like the New Living Translation?
Okay, we're going to look at these 7 gifts of motivation, motivational gifts, like we talked about this morning when we had the little guy up there motivating us to do anything. And so what you see is a line right across his chest there, and from the heart up is basically the neck and the head. And that's where the manifestation, the motivational gift of being a teacher is, a perceiver is, an exhorter is. And then on down and up above there is the administrator, where that he is a thinking person. And then the heart gifts are under there. A gift of compassion, being a compassionate person, a giver, and a server. And so that's what we're going to be dealing with. And all of us have already these particular things that God has gifted us in our lives. Now, Jesus has all of them. And as we grow in Jesus, we're going to get more than one. And I think by the end of this, you will see at least what are your three main motivational gifts that God has implanted in you. The gifts in the body. Just as our bodies have many parts, each one has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many, many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. Very important that we understand that we're because of that. The prophetic. Now, I want to make some statements here, because many times people think that the word of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is, yea, I say unto thee, my people, in 30 days this will be destroyed. Now, they did that back in the Old Testament, but the New Testament giftings are different, and it's more of a spirit of helping and of identifying. We're going to go into that. These are the eyes of the body, Matthew 13. 16 and 17 says that blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So we need people with this gifting in here, but we're going to call it the perceiver, or the gift of perception. And I think that's better than trying to say, well, this is the gift of prophecy, and many times the so-called prophets have split churches and caused problems and had people get married that weren't supposed to and all sorts of weird things. But this is simply an ability to perceive. And as you go through this, you will see how that some are gifted in this way, and it's a purpose. Now, as we continue these three nights, we're also going to show the problems that these kind of gifts cause when we're not balanced out. So we really need everyone to use their gifting so we'll balance out one another. The server is one of the seven.
Proverbs 31:19. Her hands are busy spinning thread, and her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. Those who can help others, and those who can help others.
Okay, the server. And so we have that as one of the giftings. Maybe you already say, that's me. Hopefully so, okay? The servers are most capable with their hands. They have great dexterity. They seem to fix or build almost anything, and they love to be helpful. Anytime, any place, especially if it includes hands-on involvement. That message this morning, maybe they're the people that have that Phillips screwdriver or that tool in their hand. Okay? And the teacher, this is the mind of the body, as we saw in the illustration, the mind of the body, all right? And the apostle of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day by day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So a gifted teacher, they'll be all time searching those scriptures and seeing, let's see, I believe there's something else there. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. The teacher, exceptionally gifted with intelligence. Right, Victor? Oh, okay. And they always are asking questions. They're not satisfied. They're going to be asking questions. They want to know the basis for everything. They will search until facts convince them that something is true. This is the gifted teacher. The exhorter. Now, many times we think of the exhorter as, I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to lay it out for you, and you're going to listen to me, and we're going to prove all things. We're going to discipline you. But exhorter is the mouth of God after, here, read it.
After the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So what is exhortation?
Encouragement. And so we need to have that there. That's part of hope, is that we have encouragers there that are able to give it out and so on. They talk a lot. They have the best oiled jaws of all the gifts. Does that translate, Victor? Okay. They exhort, they console, they encourage. They're talkative, the exhorters. This is the giver. The giver is the arms of the body. Oh, yes, we need givers. Givers have great spiritual strength, and they're able to extend the reach of Christian endeavors. Givers are strong supporters to those on the front lines fighting spiritual battles. So we need those givers, those people that are there that are able to lift up and help. Administrators, these are the shoulders of the body. They're shouldering responsibility. They carry the load of leadership. Wise administrators know how to yoke up with Jesus so that he carries the burden with them.
Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders."
And so the administrator is like this here, that it rests on their shoulders. The compassionate person, this is the heart of the body. People gifted with compassion are ruled by the heart rather than by the heart rather than by the head. They show kindness, care, and mercy to others. And I'll just give you a little trick question or statement. Of my study, 30% of us are compassionate people. Now, we need the other parts to balance that out. But 30% of the people are compassionate people, really. Their heart is there. There's things that will stop these gifts from coming in. Anger, sin will stop these gifts. But when you have this gift, it's what God is going to bring out in you. And even with small children, a parent can know in which way they're already gifted. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of Christ, into patient waiting for Christ. Two distinctions between the seven gifts. Seven gifts. Remember that. Seven gifts. Those who focus primarily on speaking and those that focus primarily on service. The teacher, the perceiver, the administrator, and the exhorter, those four must speak. Although the compassionate, the giver, and the server do not like to be in front, all are serving gifts. Everything we have are really serving gifts. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Okay, here's Charlie again. Or who? Carlos? I don't know who it is. Victor. Okay, we've got the heart again. So let's keep this in mind as we move on through each one of these seven. But we're just going to kind of start on the perceiver tonight. Hopefully get to the server. The gift of perception. The word prophecy, an inspired speaker, is what that means. To show or make known one's thoughts, to speak, say, or affirm. New Testament prophecy, like I said, it's not prediction, but it's inspired delivery of warning, exhortation, which means encouragement, instruction, which means teaching, judging, and making manifest the secrets of the heart. That's from Kenneth Worst Word Studies. The perceiver. Okay, this is the one we're going to talk about first. The perceiver, the one that has gifted perception. He's sensitive to the will of God. He proclaims it, but he's praying for it to be accomplished. He promotes the will of God. 20 characteristics of the perceiver. Okay, now you might have looked at all those seven so far and wonder where you fit in. We're going to see that because we're going to go through each one of these. And before you fill out the little form, we'll kind of go through them again so you can just really take a look at it. There's not any wrong answers. It's just kind of saying, is this the way I am? Is this what God already has in me? Quickly and accurately identifies good and evil, and he hates evil. Now, an example is John the Baptist. He exposed evil and identified with it and expressed God's hatred of it. He publicly denounced Herod's adulterous relationship with his brother's wife, even if it meant prison and death. So John the Baptist was a perceiver. He sees everything as either black or white, no gray, or indefinite areas. A perceiver will make decisions easily. They form quick evaluations. They don't see anything in between, and no maybes, extreme feelings, words, and actions. And there's no maybes to it. They easily perceive the character of individuals in groups. They get the feel of the individuals in groups, not by outward analysis, but by the intuitive perception that is their gift. John the Baptist did not ask the Pharisees questions, but said, "You're a bunch of snakes, vipers." Number four, he encourages repentance that produces good fruit. He or she prays for the exposure of bad roots, helps the person identify all the hatred and judgment against the one who hurt him. He helps the person repent to bring good fruit, because repentance will bring good fruit. Number five, he believes that the acceptance of difficulties will produce positive personal brokenness. They rejoice in negative events because they see tragedy as a stepping stone to maturity. You won't get much sympathy from a perceiver. Number six, he has only few or no close relationships. They feel comfortable in their aloneness. Their time for friendships is limited because of their commitment to prayer. Broad friendships require tolerance, and with the perceiver, there is no compromise. Number seven, he views the Bible as the basis for truth, belief, action, and authority. They believe that there is no other basis for truth. We should all believe that. They depend on the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God. Number eight, they boldly operate on spiritual principles. They're very demanding of themselves to apply these principles to their daily lives. If there were not any perceivers, most of us would settle for less. Number nine, he or she is frank, outspoken, and doesn't mince words. They may have a self-hatred because they're always hurting people with their mouth. A mature perceiver can be a great person to be around, honest, upfront, candid, but guided by wisdom and love. Number 10, we're halfway through there. How are we doing? Oh, okay. We might get there. Very persuasive in methods of speaking. They have strong convictions about everything. Things are either right or wrong, and they will speak out accordingly. Number 11, they grieve deeply over the sins of others. A person who weeps inwardly and outwardly when seeing the sins of others. So it's not just an opinionated person, but they really feel that. They feel that grief inside of them, because they want to spare the person the consequences of their sinful decisions. And they know that only the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will bring them to repentance. Number 12, is eager to see his own blind spots and help others see theirs also.
Ooh, Luke 6:41 and 42 says, "And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Pretty blunt, isn't it?
Well, that's not my word. That's the Word of God that says that. But a perceiver will be very hard on himself, which is good. Number 13, he desires above all else to see God's plan worked out in all situations. They discern God's plan and will never let personal desires get in the way of that plan for themselves or others. In an organization, they will encourage individuals to sacrifice their own needs and desires for the good of God's plan for the group. The man Simeon in the temple, he desired all else to see God's plan worked out in his life. And he had a word from God that he would not depart until he had seen the Savior. And when they brought baby Jesus in, he said, "Now I can depart in peace." Number 14, he strongly promotes the spiritual growth of groups and individuals. They perceive themselves as ever growing and are eager to help others grow too. They realize that it's necessary to deal on a one-on-one basis in order for the whole group to become strong. Number 15, I like this part. They're called to intercession. You know, if all they're going to do is tell you what's wrong and not do anything about it, but they're called to intercession. Perceivers are to be slow to speak and quick to pray. 90% is intercession. 10% should be working directly with people. They say many things that are not God's will. If they do not take it to prayer, they will become obnoxious meddlers and negative criticizers. Now, before you get really mad at me, this is not my work. There's a book out called Discovering God's Gifts, and that's where that I got this information. And so they have done a lot of study, and they've gone through it. And so I'm just God's little messenger boy up here, okay? Number 16, the perceiver feels a need to verbalize or dramatize what he sees. Tina's going to like this one. Hosea is an example. He took a harlot as a wife to demonstrate Israel's unfaithfulness. She has a ministry called Hosea's Door, unfaithfulness. So he used the drama. They use a large stage as a vehicle to get across their message. Look at Elisha. He told Naaman to dip 7 times in a dirty Jordan. Dramatizing, whatever it takes. John the Baptist dressed in camel's hair and ate insects and wild honey. Bugs. Number 17, the perceiver tends to be introspective.
Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Teach me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
So getting rid of imperfections is a top priority. They're introspective and search me, O God, know my heart. The perceiver takes things very seriously. Number 18, he has strong convictions and opinions. They have an opinion about everything. They can form an opinion on the spot. They can be a bull in the china closet. Lukewarm discussions are rare. Know anybody like this? 19. I was 18. 19. Has strong personal standards. Never satisfied with less than the best. Unless out of fellowship with God, they will never compromise their standards. They're honest. They have integrity. It's their byword. Number 20. So if we have 7 of these, we're going to have 140 of these, right? Okay. Number 20, desires to be obedient to God at all costs. Must include being respectful and obedient to others. Bring every thought into obedience to God. To secular rulers, to parents, to husbands, even to employers, as the scripture says. Okay. What we need to realize is that we've all got these different gifts, some stronger than others, teacher, perceiver, exhorter, administrator, compassionate person, giver, and server. Charlotte's going to pass out these sheets, and we're going to ask David. Thank you, David, for doing this for us, and Randy. This is the perceiver. Perception, gift of perception. We've got to hurry. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes, and we're going to go back and let the 1 through 20 roll again. And what you're being asked to do here is to make a check. I'd say put your name on it, not to turn it in, but so that you won't leave it anywhere. 0 is never. Seldom is 1. Sometimes is 2. Usually is 3. 4 is mostly. And 5 is always. So the thing there is on your sheet, but the other things that we elaborated on are underneath. And David will just kind of roll these through, and we will. This is for your own benefit. This is so you'll understand yourself. That's what counseling really is. It's teaching a person about themselves so that they will know what they're gifted in or what the problem is or whatever. And so this is. Like taking a multiple choice test in high school, probably the first thing you think of is the right answer. If you change it, it's probably wrong. That's what I found out. Anyone need a pen? Okay, Brother Jerry is passing out some pens. Yeah, you need it. Here comes some more. He's got some. Now, I put it on three-hole paper so you can put it in a notebook. I'm not going to buy your notebook, but no. But you can, so you can keep it. This is, you'll teach this someday. Wow, that's encouraging. I told Tim how many copies I was going to make. We didn't know if 10 would show up, you know. But that's encouraging. Oh, so if you want the right one, ask your wife. That would be good. We'll see if anybody has got 20 zeros. Never. It's even got some arithmetic in it. Math problem. You got to add them all up at the bottom. How many did you make? Huh? Nine more? Okay. Well, let me give you one of these so you can go and make nine copies. Yeah. this one. This one, second one. Because if we're short now, we'll be short then. Do what? Perceptive. You grade yourself? Good. Don't want to rush you. It's important that you think. Yeah, you will be the only one that sees it. Maybe. How are we doing? Anyone halfway through? You're through. You ask her what to put, huh? No. That's good. Okay, David, let's go on to the next slide. And you can do this a little bit at a time if you need to, because you've got the kind of got the essence of what we're talking about. Now we're going to talk about the motivational gift of being a server. A server, number one, easily recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet them. We'll be giving you one of these sheets as well. Has a built-in radar to spot other people's needs and is highly motivated to do something about these needs. They will naturally fold up the chairs, put the furniture back in place, and clean up, and they enjoy doing it. While others are out giving their great testimony of what God's done this week, they'll be cleaning the kitchen. See? Thank the Lord for servers. They have great dexterity. They work well with their hands. They have great manual skills. They're artistic. They're a fixer. They're good at carpentry, plumbing, I got to talk to you about a problem. Okay. Electrical, sewing, cooking. Cooking, gardening. Deborah. We'll prefer trade schools or beauty schools or technical schools. They're servers. They keep everything in meticulous order. For the women, they cannot stand clutter, dirt, or disorganization. No dirty dishes, laundry folded and put away the day it is washed, beds made up immediately. Could I ad-lib on that a little bit? Don't just clean up your house for company. Let it be a motel room every night when you go back to it. Don't just do it for others. Do it for yourself. Don't we? At least you do. Well, I've learned how to make up the bed, too. Okay. House always ready for company. You know, used to, when I was a little boy, pastor could just drive around town. Let's go see so-and-so. Oh, you don't do that anymore. Oh, no. You know, you have to call first. I had a guy do that one time. Is when cell phones first came out. I said, yeah, we're home. And I opened the door and he was standing there. But he at least warned us, you know, 30 seconds, you know. What was that last one? Something I didn't read. What was? Oh, that's all right. Oh, house always ready. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay. For the men, keeps their closets clean. Piles of shoes everywhere. No. Never throw socks in the shirt drawer. Can always see the top of their desk, at least on Friday evening. Every tool is hanging on the right peg. Lawn is mowed on schedule. And weeds don't have a chance in the flower bed. Why? Because they're servers. Okay? Number four is a detailed person with a good memory. What did I just say? Okay, as a detailed person with a good memory, they have a computer type of memory for details. They will remember that you like cream in your coffee, but no sugar. Sí. No me gusta azúcar porque soy muy dulce, okay? I don't need sugar because I'm already very sweet, I said, okay. Yes, that's what I said, okay. Remembers birthdays and anniversaries. Some men tell me they're glad we put it on the board up here. Because that helps them remember when it's their anniversary, the wife's birthday. Number five, they enjoy showing hospitality. And by the way, this is a requirement for an elder, is that you have the gift of hospitality. They offer their home to missionaries. Well, used to that was the case. When I was a little boy, we had missionaries in our home. Now most churches send them to a motel, and the children don't get to hear the stories. They love to entertain people. They do a terrific, that's supposed to be job, okay. It's joyful, though, of making guests feel welcome. They love having company. Table of eight, here we come. They love having company. Okay. They will stay with it until the job is completed. They have a wonderful stick-it-to-iveness. Say that, everybody, stick-it-to-iveness. They'll be frustrated if given a job that to do in too short a time. Not only do they want to finish what they start, but they want to do it well. Number seven, they have a hard time saying no to requests for help. So consequently, they'll be covered up, probably beyond what they can do, which is maybe one of the negatives of this. They're naturally geared to be helpful. They tend to get over-involved. They need to check with the Lord first. They learn that it's okay to say no. They're more interested in meeting the needs of others than their own needs. Servers are so naturally caring people. They serve and receive joy from doing it. They enjoy working on immediate goals rather than long-term goals. They prefer short-term projects. They would prefer providing food for a family of a woman temporarily in the hospital. They would work at the food bank one day a week, but they can only handle one job at a time. Number 10, halfway through. They show love for others in deeds and actions more than words. They express love in what they are doing. They feel it's easy to say, I love you, but not really knowing that you how you feel unless you do something also. Number 11, they need to feel appreciated. They praise assures them that they have done well. So they need lots of praise. We all do. They build up a positive self-image. This builds up a positive self-image in them. It rewards them and brings them joy. They enjoy doing what they don't want. They enjoy doing it, they don't want to stop doing it. Tends to do more than what they're asked to do. They feel the greatest joy is doing something that is helpful. They will feel grieved if told, I don't need you to do anything. I have everything under control. One of the examples I saw is that the mother-in-law comes into one of the daughter-in-law's houses and says, can I help you with dinner? No, I've got everything under control. And she's sad because she wants to do something. She wants to be a part of that. And they'll feel grieved if they're told, I don't need you. That's what I don't need you. We all need to be needed. Number 14, they do not want to lead others are projects. They're followers, not leaders. And so, like I say, we have a mix of these things. They can be frustrated if a leadership position is forced upon them. This will cause a loss of joy in serving. Number 15, they have a high energy level. They have one speed, fast forward. Have unusual endurance and often get by with less sleep. Because they're servers. Number 16, they cannot stand to be around clutter. They're the ones who straighten picture frames on someone else's wall. As a child, they would go to visit another child and go into their room and line up their someone else's toys. So you can recognize these gifts very early in life. They tend to be a perfectionist. Whatever they do, they want to do it well. They will work diligently to that end. They view serving to be of prime importance in life. They cannot understand why others do not pitch in and help. There's only three of us back in the kitchen. Everybody else is praying. I've always thought it was interesting how that people know how to be absent at just the right time, you know. It's like you go out to eat with someone, you go to the bathroom while they're paying the bill. Should not insist that others feel the same way. Each gift feels his is the most important. Prefers doing a job to delegating it to someone else. I can do it faster than telling them how to do it. They have a sense of guilt if they don't do it. They feel it will get done faster if I just do it myself. And yet, in leadership training, the leadership style we should have is we do it and they watch. We show them how and they do it and we watch and they do it. And so you're delegating it to others. And you have to be satisfied that it will not be exactly like you would have done it. But there's several ways. Sometimes there's a definite no, but most of the time it's just another way of doing it, another way of saying it, another way of getting it done. Number 20, they support others who are in leadership. Usually make good secretaries, vice presidents, committee members. And they have a desire to see others succeed. They will be loyal, detailed, accurate, and a joy to work with. Well, we're going to pass them out. You have to ask yourself, is it never, seldom, sometimes, usually, mostly, always? And we got 10 minutes. Oops. Hello. Used to work. Okay. Hallelujah. Soft floors. Not nice mic. Do we have any servers here? We'll see. I believe we do.